Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by Aftersight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. The first article is News and Reviews, conducted by Cody Grivno and Bryson Sleppy. Railsmith models N-scale Bud Dome Coach. A newly tooled Bud Dome Coach is now available in N-scale from Railsmith Models. The injection-molded plastic lightweight car features tinted dome window glazing, metal wheel stubs mounted on plastic axles, and truck-mounted AccuMate knuckle couplers. The Railsmith model is based on a dome coach built by the Bud Company in 1955 under job number 9646-155. The full-size car had 46 seats in the coach and 24 in the dome. The sample we received is decorated as Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy 1335, part of the 1320 through 1335 series. The cars were owned by Great Northern, parentheses 1320 through 1331, close parentheses, Spokane, Portland, and Seattle 1332, and CB&Q 1333 through 1335. In Burlington Northern Passenger Cars by Charles A. Riddicell, it notes that the Bud Dome coaches were assigned to the Empire Builder upon delivery, bumping 48-seat coaches from the train. In the summer, three dome coaches were assigned to each Empire Builder set. In the winter, there were two per set. The dome coaches sometimes appeared on the Western Star during off-peak times. Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy 1335 was slated to become Burlington Northern 4615 after the March 1970 merger that created the new railroad, but it was never renumbered. The dome coach joined the Amtrak fleet in 1971, becoming the 9475. After the car was upgraded with head-end power in February 1984, it was renumbered 9411. The lightweight car was damaged in a wreck at Batavia, New York, in August 1994 and retired 2 months later. The sides and ends of the Railsmith dome coach are cast as a single unit. The roof and dome are a separate, one-piece casting. Eight tabs on the bottom of the roof lock into corresponding slots concealed inside the car body. Both ends of the car are fitted with a diaphragm molded in black plastic. The stirrup steps and grab irons are molded. Similar to other Railsmith offerings, the side grab irons are painted to look like stainless steel. Inside, the car has a two-piece plastic interior. Details on the bottom portion include two coach sections, an electrical locker, boiler room, linen and table locker, and staircase up to the dome section. The details and layout of the men's and women's restrooms match drawings in Riddicell's book. The upper portion of the interior, inside the dome, has seating for 24 passengers. The model has a one-piece underbody with eight tabs, four on each slide, that fit into slots that are part of the coach section window glazing. The underbody is recycled from other Railsmith cars, so the arrangement of the molded parts isn't an exact match for the prototype. The Bud Dome coach is Railsmith's first release to feature outside swing hanger trucks. Brass contacts are located behind the side frames. Two of the four wheels were tight against the National Model Railroad Association standards gauge. This was easily fixed by twisting the metal wheels on the plastic axle. Our review sample is decorated in GN's 1967 Big Sky Blue scheme. The paint is smooth and evenly applied, and the color separation lines are crisp. I found prototype photos of both sides of CB&Q1335 online. The graphics on the model are shifted a touch too far to the right for the 1335, but hardly what I'd say is a deal-breaker. Prototype drawings of the Bud Dome coach were printed in Rudisell's book. The RailSmith model closely follows published dimensions. I took the car over to our Milwaukee, Racine, and Troy State line route, which has number 6 turnouts and 18-inch minimum radius curves, for further evaluation. The lightweight passenger car ran well while being pulled and pushed in a 3-car train powered by a single 4-axle cab unit. The minimum recommended radius for the 85-foot car is 14 inches. With crisply defined body details, sharp paint and graphics, and plenty of room to add figures, the RailSmith Bud Dome coach is sure to be a standout in your passenger car fleet. I can't wait to see what cars Lowell Smith announces next. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and Features. Price. Single car, $64. Two-pack, $132. Price for other road names vary. Manufacturer. RailSmith Models. P.O. Box 188. Prineville, Oregon 97754. Or lowellsmith.net/railsmith. Era, 1967 to 1971, as decorated. Road names: Great Northern, Alaska Railroad, Amtrak, Burlington Northern, Missouri Pacific, and Northern Pacific. Features: metal wheel stubs on plastic axles, 2 out of gauge. Truck-mounted Accumate couplers at correct height. Weight, 1.4 ounces, correct per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. Next is the Athearn HO Scale FMC 5347 boxcar. A newly tooled FMC 5,347 cubic foot capacity 50-foot boxcar has joined the Athearn HO Scale freight car lineup. The injection-molded plastic model has many separate factory-applied details, railroad-specific doors, and body-mounted McHenry scale couplers. FMC Corporation produced the 5347 boxcar at its plant in Portland, Oregon, from the late 1970s to the early 1980s. Among the spotting features are 3/3 corrugated, non-terminating ends, 7 exterior posts on each side of the door, and bolsters attached to the sills with fasteners in a U-shape arrangement. The sample we received is decorated as Main Central (Pan Am Railways) 31414, part of the railroad's 31250 through 31749 series, built by FMC under lot 17660 in November and December 1976. This group of MEC boxcars is similar in appearance to the 5347, but has a capacity of 5,272 cubic feet and the bolster fasteners arranged in a diamond pattern. Examples of these cars are still in service today. Editor's note: Main Central did have 5,347 cubic foot capacity boxcars, but they were in the 31750 through 31899 and 31900 through 32149 series. End note. The Athearn boxcar has a one-piece plastic body. Factory-applied parts include wire grab irons and crossover handrails. Plastic 10-foot Youngstown doors, door handles, stirrup steps, and ladders, and placard and root boards, and see-through etched metal crossover platforms. The B-end has a freestanding handbrake and brake wheel. The underbody is a one-piece plastic casting with molded body bolsters, center sills, cross members, draft gear boxes, and stringers. Freestanding plastic parts include the air reservoir, brake cylinder, control valve, levers, and lever support brackets. The brake rods are metal. The plastic draft gearbox covers, which hold the McHenry scale couplers in place, are secured with a single Phillips head screw. The boxcar features roller bearing trucks with separate brake beam detail. The trucks are molded in black engineering plastic and have crisply defined spring and roller bearing detail. The 33-inch machined metal wheel sets are chemically blackened. Our review sample is decorated in Pan Am Railway's light blue and Guilford gray scheme. The paint is smooth and evenly applied, but the color separation line has some wavy spots. Graphic placement follows prototype images that I found online of other cars in the Pan Am scheme. I was unable to find photos showing both sides of car 31414. However, most cars in the blue and gray scheme have the Pan Am Globe logo on both sides, Pan Am in the corporate typeface on the left side, and Pan Am Railways in a modern sans-serif font on the right side. Our sample has Pan Am on both sides. Prototype drawings of the FMC 5347 boxcar were published in the 1980 Car and Locomotive Cyclopedia of American Practices, Simmons Boardman Publishing Corporation. Most of the dimensions match published data. Stencils on the car ends indicate the Pan Am Railways boxcar should have a Freightmaster type ME10 cushioning unit, but the model has an uncushioned draft sill. The distance over the strikers is a scale 51 feet 3 inches, compared to 52 feet 9 and 3 quarter inches indicated in the prototype drawings. The FMC 5347 was one of the more common cars from the boxcar boom in the late 1970s and early 1980s. The newly tooled Athearn model is offered in a variety of paint schemes, covering the peak of the incentive per diem era all the way to the present day. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and Features. Price: single car, $39.99. 3-pack, $99.99. Manufacturer: Athearn Trains, 2904 Research Road, Champaign, Illinois, 61822, athearn.com. Era: late 1970s to present, varies depending on paint scheme. Road names: Main Central, parentheses Pan Am Railways and As Delivered Schemes, close parentheses, Cadiz Railroad, Central Vermont, CSX, Green Mountain Railroad, and Railbox, parentheses two single cars and 3-pack, close parentheses. Two single cars per scheme unless noted. Features: 33-inch machined metal wheel sets with RP-25 contours, correctly gauged. Body-mounted McHenry scale couplers at correct height. Minimum radius, 18 inches. Weight, 4.9 ounces, 0.4 ounce too heavy per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. The next article is Railway Post Office, conducted by Eric White. The first inset is Of Codes and Pizza. I liked your informative response to Damien Boucher regarding his N-scale layout and which code track, 55 or 80, to use. However, you seem to have discounted the use of code 55 or smaller rail. I would just like to add that I have had good performance using code 40 rail with the quote-unquote pizza cutter wheels found on older Katie and Micro Trains rolling stock. The trick is to hand lay the rails and secure them either by soldering to printed circuit board ties or gluing the rails with a contact cement like Pliobond. This is actually easier than it may sound if you are a bit adventurous. I have used both methods with good results for pizza cutter, fine scale, and RP-25 contour wheel sets. Attached is a photo showing examples of each on the N-scale layout I am working on. So, I wouldn't rule out code 40 or code 55 if you use one of the above methods that don't require spikes. Signed, Richard Reitz. Next inset is Remembering Perry's Hobbies. I was saddened to read the obit about Perry Becker in the January 2025 issue of Model Railroader. I am sure he and I met years ago. In the mid-1990s, when we used to visit family in northeast South Dakota at Christmas time, I made a couple of the 190-mile round trips to visit Perry's Hobbies in the tiny town of Morgan, Minnesota. At that time, the quote-unquote hobby shop was located in a back office of the town's grocery store. It was stocked, as I remember, from floor to ceiling with HO and N-scale goodies. I guess, quote-unquote, life interfered, and I never made a return trip in the intervening 30 years. Signed, Don Frankfurt, Hot Springs, South Dakota. The next inset is Strathmore Nostalgia. Mike Chandler's Hotel Bellevue article took me back about 60 years before Alan Armitage introduced Model Railroader readers to styrene techniques to a series of Model Railroader articles by Bill Clouser, who described the use of Strathmore for building models, particularly interurban cars of the Illinois Terminal. I later saw several of his larger models at the Smithsonian Institution and learned that he was a professional model builder. One of his major points was that priming the Strathmore with what I remember as Ditzler's Rip Tap primer slash sealer was advisable in order to prevent deformation of the Strathmore by humidity. Signed, Dennis Gordon, Long Meadow, Massachusetts. The next inset is Telling It Like It Is. Peter Hall's article was great. It is one of the few articles on rebuilding brass that tells it like it is, or at least how I usually experience rebuilding brass locomotives. It is not a straightforward process and usually involves trial and error and a few blind alleys. In most cases, it ends up being well worth the effort put into the project, though. I appreciate Mr. Hall's shout-out to Gary Schrader. Gary was an amazing rebuilder of big-time brass locomotives in quarter-inch scale who published an account of most of his rebuilds to several email lists as the rebuild process went on. Those emails contained multiple annotated photos in addition to text about the rebuild. The information in those emails was wonderful for those of us who run brass steam. While Gary's interests were Santa Fe and Southern Pacific steam, he was a reliable member of the Glenwood and Black Creek Railroad, (Jim Vail, / Durlin Branch Narrow Gauge Operating Group in the San Francisco Bay Area for 2 decades up until the time of his death. We miss him. I hope Mr. Hall has a few more articles on rebuilding brass steam in store for us readers of Model Railroader. Signed, Dave Adams, D and RGW Durlin Branch in On 3, San Jose, California. The final inset is Say No to Curtains. I read Tony's column in the March issue, editor's note, Looking Under the Hood, with delight. Some additional thoughts on Looking Under the Hood. Some modelers hang curtains under their fascia to hide the clutter. This is a no-no, as it traps both dust and moisture. Organizing everything possible in the banker's boxes helps keep down both the clutter and the dust. (A hot water heating system rather than forced hot air also reduces dust. Banker's boxes also make it easy to retrieve stored items when they are needed. Finally, painting the supporting benchwork the same color, light gray, as the concrete floor gives the layout a floating effect that greatly enhances the magic of the scene. Signed, Herm Botzow. The next section is Ask Model Railroader by Cody Grivno. Loads for a fertilizer blend plant. Question. I have a question about one of the articles in your special issue, Best of Industries. On page 16, Rich Cobb wrote about a fertilizer blend plant. Can you tell me what kind of loads a plant like this would receive? Signed, Marcus Russ. Answer. We released that special interest publication in 2021, so I had to go back and jog my memory. In the story, Rich wrote, quote, "Materials came from Florida, New Mexico, and Canada, as well as a nitrogen plant Agway owned in Olean, New York. Covered hoppers from a variety of railroads could be seen in Auburn, end quote. The quote-unquote materials include phosphate and potash. Phosphate has been mined in various locations throughout the United States over the years, including Florida, Idaho, Montana, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, and Wyoming. In addition to fertilizer, phosphate is used in animal feed, cosmetics, electronics, and food preservatives. The HO scale Pullman Standard, or PS, 2929 covered hopper from tangent scale models is based on a prototype used to transport phosphate. Atlantic Coastline, Seaboard Airline, and Seaboard Coastline had boxcars, parentheses with roof hatches, close parentheses, in phosphate service. Today, a variety of three bay covered hoppers are used to haul phosphate, including the American Car and Foundry 4650 Center Flow, Evans 4780, and PS Thrall and Trinity 4750. Potash is the name for various chemicals and minerals with potassium. Southeastern New Mexico is the leading potash producer in the United States. Canada is the world's largest producer and exporter of potash. Uses beyond fertilizer include animal feed, batteries, detergents, prescriptions, and soaps. An early car used to transport potash was the PS 2003 cubic foot capacity two-bay covered hopper. American Potash and Chemical Corporation, Duval Sulfur and Potash Company, Potash Company of America, and Southwest Potash Corporation, among others, leased the two-bay cars in the 1950s. Models of the PS 2003 are available from Athern, HO, Atlas, N and HO, Katy, HO, and Microtrains, N. Canadian potash has been shipped in various car types over the years. Among the models available are the Atlas HO scale slab side covered hopper, appropriate for the mid-1950s through the late 1990s. Rapido HO scale 3800 4-bay cylindrical covered hopper, correct for the 1960s through the 2010s. And Northern American Railcar Corporation, HO, and N National Steel Car 4275, and 4300 3-bay covered hoppers, accurate for contemporary layouts. Question. I recently started working again on my HO scale layout, which features a Digitrax Super Chief Starter Set and Bachmann Easy Track. I cleaned all of the track and have been testing locomotives. One of the units, an Athern Genesis HO scale Electromotive Division GP38 that has not been used in some time, will not run in reverse. When I set the throttle to reverse, it shorts out power to the entire layout. It runs forward decently. Any thoughts on what the issue might be? Signed, Joshin Edecker. Answer. I reached out to a couple of different people for insights. Contributing editor Larry Puckett responded, quote, first, even though your other locomotives run fine, the GP38 may still require cleaner track. At a minimum, clean a section a couple of feet long and see if that works. Also, take a closer look at the wheels to make sure they're very clean. If the problem persists, check the lubrication of the axle bearings and the gears. Lube tends to dry out if a locomotive is stored an extended time, and coagulated lube may bind and cause the motor to overload the decoder. On some old engines, I've had to completely disassemble the trucks, remove all the old lube, and reapply fresh grease and oil. Another possible solution is to remove the shell and check for any wires catching in the mechanism or rubbing on the frame. This can cause wear spots in the insulation and lead to shorts. Finally, try to reset the decoder to factory settings by programming CV8 to a value of 8. This has worked a number of times for me and others in your situation. Remember that the address will likely reset to a value of 3, and any changes you have made will be lost. End quote. Contributing editor Tony Kester asked for the opinion of Tom Schmieder, owner of Real Sound Solutions. Tom replied, quote, "First off, I'm suspicious of the press-on wire clips that Athearn uses, not only for wires connected to their motherboard, but for the power pickup wires connected the same way to the trucks as well. Not that this is necessarily the problem here, but a loose wire from those connections could be. If I were working on this engine, I would be looking at the motor and associated wiring to find out how the motor torque in reverse causes the short. Perhaps there is a wire that's loose and is too close to one of the drive shafts. It could get snagged, pulling on the wire and causing a short in the one direction. I check all wiring and clearances around moving parts and watch for the problem there. I'd also replace all of those press-on wire clips to the motherboard and trucks with soldered connections for better overall reliability. If that doesn't uncover the problem, perhaps there is a problem with the motor itself." End quote. Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader Magazine, read by Jason Consol.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at AfterSight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening.